Where'd I leave my drink, Archie? Ah.
Oh, he says. Don't you know?
How do you do, Mrs. Leach? I'm Harvey Manfred Jensen. I'm with the CIA.
CIA?
That's correct, ma'am. I was just telling your husband here before I had to go to your beautiful bathroom. We've got a high-ranking KGB defector in a safe house near here. We're debriefing him as of now, and we're just checking all the houses in the neighborhood.
For what?
For KGB.
Is there any danger?
No. No, not now. We just want to keep everyone informed. So, Archie, thanks for the drink. Sorry to have troubled you folks. I'll see myself out.
Keep everyone informed?
So there's no panic, ma'am.
But isn't it a secret?
You have no idea how secret.
Well, why are you telling everyone?
It's a smokescreen.
What?
Double bluff. Look, you obviously don't know anything about intelligence work, lady. It's an XK Red 27 technique.
My father was in the Secret Service, Mr. Manfred Jensen, and I know perfectly well that you don't keep the general public informed when you are debriefing KGB defectors in a safe house.
Oh, you don't, huh?
Not unless you're congenitally insane or irretrievably stupid, no.
Welcome to the Anime Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien. And this is Douglas.
It's CNN.
Douglas, Damien, are you feeling okay now?
I feel a lot better.
Like the coughs are gone.
Yes. What? What coughs? What are you talking about?
The bomb back coughs.
Listen. I may have had an allergic reaction to something. I don't. You can't have allergies towards a director, although it always happens. Alright, let me start. Alright, listen.
So we're talking about Mistress America this week.
Alright,
the new Bombach movie.
You know the feeling of being at a party where you don't know anybody? College is like that the whole time.
You should call Brooke.
I hear she's fun.
Hey, baby Tracy.
Being around Brooke made you want to find life, not hide from it.
I'm gonna shorten that, punch it up, and turn it into a tweet.
She sang with the band and knew everyone and didn't owe anyone anything and couldn't pay up even if she did.
High five, sister. That was an amazing night.
Best of my life.
Hi, guys. Listen. I know every time I come on here, I give Noah Baumbach a lot of shit because he makes terrible movies. But.
Hold on.
Don't get too excited. What I will say now, having seen enough of his movies, is I know this is not how anyone wants anyone to talk about anything you produce. I don't think he's making movies for people like me. I've come to the realization that he writes about characters that I've never met. Like, I've never met people like that. Those vapid, entitled monsters. I've never really... Like, the closest I have is you and Douglas. So... And you guys aren't that bad. Maybe Douglas sometimes. But the people he sent us his stories around are always monsters. At least for me. I don't know real people like that. So it just feels like these people are people from out of his head. But that's unfair. Maybe these are the people that he spends a lot of time with or grew up with or whatever the case is. And so he's most comfortable writing characters like these because these are the type of people that he knows. And that is fine. What I will say, though, is that I don't enjoy any of his movies because of it. I can't... Like, when there's no character to root for, then you just sit there watching to see where this movie is going. But none of his movies go anywhere. It's just stories centered around one person and a thing that happens. And it's just 90 minutes spent dealing with whatever the thing is. But there's no one to root for. I am not saying all movies need to have people to root, but there needs to be something likable about the protagonist or that, and like about someone in the movie so that you can point and go, I really hate him or I really like him or whatever the case is. But if you're going to watch a movie for 90 minutes and just go, I fucking hate everything. The more people that get introduced into this movie, is the more I hate this fucking movie. So, you know what? You know what? No, you win. You win. All right? You've done it.
So can we finally diagnose your coughs at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the bomba coughs. They're bombastic. Miss a love, stop. All right. I don't like this movie.
So, yes. Mistress America. Mm-hmm.
It's about something. Andrew will tell
you. It's about a beauty pageant. No.
It's no. Not really. That's not.
It's about an adulterer.
Is it?
It's not.
It's about America.
No, not really.
Fuck yeah!
Let's pray that
it's... it's another one of the movies in which he collaborates with Greta Gerwig, who stars in the film, about a lady about 8:30 who is
the worst person. She's the worst person,
and she ends up meeting our actual protagonist, which is the young girl who just entered college. Mm-hmm. Because
those
their
family children look old as shit.
Their family is going to unite apparently, mm-hmm, through a marriage, and she wants to meet her while she's at college in New York City.
You
and
know,
she
I
just
think that
reaches
all the
out
time.
Reaches out to this older woman, right, and says, "Hey, why don't we meet up and hang out and find out?" And then it becomes a story of these two people, their relationship as it happens, until its eventual end.
And about writing short stories.
The young girl is an English person who likes to write. I was going to say English major, and I'm like, that feels weird
English,
to say
yeah,
English major.
It's better if you call her an English person. She's an English person.
She's a person who reads and writes
English.
I don't know if she speaks it.
Of course.
Right? But she's an English person.
She's an English person.
Douglas is just befuddled over
right
there going,
Douglas,
like, how did Andrew
Douglas
get
is a dumbass person. How did you pass English?
Anyways, and her one of the things that the movie introduces.
I don't remember her having a British accent.
I don't either. I don't.
Anyways, let's not go there. Let's.
Was it that they asked her to tone it down for the movie?
They did.
Douglas, don't interrupt.
Anyways.
Like, he has to get through telling me what this movie is about.
Anyways.
So that it can be an actual review.
So yeah, that's the basic idea of this movie. And a lot of people have kind of lumped together Baumbach's last three movies, Frances Ha, While We're Young, and this movie.
I haven't watched While We're Young. I really should.
No, Douglas, you shouldn't. Did you like this movie?
We'll get to that.
Then
moment.
No, Douglas, you should.
So they've kind of lumped those three movies together under this idea of Baumbach dealing with those very people that you don't like, Damien, the entitled, and what some people have dubbed the You Can't Get What You Want trilogy of movies. Because the thing about those movies
is the tagline or the subtitle to that movie, but you get what you need.
Maybe.
Is it? Is it?
I don't know. We can think about that.
And you
can
get what if you really
No, I know. Right, I'm just derailing the conversation.
And,
like,
and that kind of breaks.
Right.
So all of these movies are dealing with characters who are kind of going down the road of wanting idealized versions of what they expect from life. While We're Young even has Ben Stiller going, I can do young things again. Like, let's do that. And we meet young couples and we do all of these dumb things. We go into young, hip lifestyles again where people are still collecting vinyl and watching things on VHS and they're crazy. And in each of these movies, you end up at that point in which the characters realize
that no, you can't. And at some point, they even think this is a dumb decision, right? It's not so much the world crashing upon them, but them going. I find this one particularly interesting because the movie almost when it starts out makes you feel as though Greta Gerwig is the one you're supposed to be focusing on, the one who has all of these high concept wishes for her life, even though. Unlike the other two movies where, for example, Wild Young, there's actually an age factor in there, but you never see Ben Stiller stop and go, I'm old, I shouldn't be doing these things. He just keeps going as if he's young.
Yeah.
In this movie, there's a constant discussion of, I'm turning 30 and I shouldn't be doing this shit anymore. Whether it be being broke or not being able to pay rent or anything. But she still, all the other parts are still about her wanting to have this restaurant, about wanting to have great ideas and have great conversations and all these things. But the truth of the matter is that what I feel watching this movie is that it's more important for you to focus on the younger woman who for the most part you feel is just living vicariously through this crazy almost 30-year-old Greta Gerwig. But her dreams are still what they started out with. At the beginning of the movie, when you meet her, all she can talk about is wanting to have this great short story. All she can talk about is wanting to be a part of that book society where they're doing literary reviews and they're walking around with their tweed jackets and their suitcases.
I just want to pause.
Their leather suitcases.
I just want to pause for a second. Just think about you going to any school.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing that there's a book society, there's people who write short stories, and you wanted to be part of that. Like, think about how crazy you'd have to be to want to join. Right? That sounds like the worst.
Right? No, but you see, here's the thing. But think about it this way, Damon. There's another movie which we all collectively love, The Social Network, where the opening scene of that movie is describing how he wants to be a part of a final club. And he describes the reason why, not being that the final club is a fun thing to do or that it's going to be a great experience. It's that great people come out of final clubs.
Right? That also sounds horrific.
No, because we are different kinds of people.
No,
who wouldn't do those things.
No. It's like he describes it as being horrific. Like he is just a means to an end, right?
And I kind of think about this as the same for this young lady, because everything she does in this movie is a means to an end. Jesus, that being her great short story.
Oh my lord.
The movie's title is even of the short story she starts writing at first. And I kind of love the movie for how it twists all that. But more to the point, more importantly, I'm still kind of digging the bombast comedy. I'm still kind of digging...
Excuse me? There's comedy in this movie? Don't. Do not. I don't even want to hear... What?
Damon, when the movie kicks off... And they're talking about wanting to be in this book society.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you see them starting to shit talk that book society in that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, for the first time in this movie, I noticed in the corner of the scene a suitcase, a leather suitcase. One of them must have bought to be like, I want to be a part of this club.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just seeing it there and seeing their disdain for it's one of those small jokes which aren't. It isn't a Kevin Hart joke. It isn't...
Listen.
Right? And...
Stab you.
another great moment in this movie that I love is the moment when they reveal the short story to everyone.
Right.
And they start reading it. And...
They turn on her.
Right. And you see one of the ladies in the room... pull out a notebook and start writing down some notes.
Right.
And you just kind of, just
right.
watching them.
Because she's going to lawyer the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not about seeing people explode or anything. It's just that small moment where most movies would have skipped over that scene where they read it to be like, oh, we found your book.
here is our reaction because we've now read your book. Right. We're now seeing the scene, and it's this awkward moment where you have someone sitting down and you're just watching them, and seeing that play out in the little reactions that you see on everyone's face as they're reading through, as she kind of prompts him to be like, I didn't do that, I'm still reading, right? Mm-hmm. All of those awkward moments, and that's what I kind of feel about Bombat movies, where all of it, in truth, is a series of awkward moments, and kind of like Wes Anderson, I don't want to say they're equal, because I mean they're very entwined.
Yeah. Clearly, right. Noah Baumbach is way better.
Right, he's superior in every single
way. Wes Anderson is super superior.
I actually like his movies. Noah Baumbach though, not so much.
But the way that these awkward moments play in these movies, and especially these last three, like earlier today I tried to watch Margaret at the Wedding, which I've never seen before. It's one of the couple that I haven't seen. And I had to stop it, like after 15 minutes.
I told
minutes.
You. I've watched a piece of that on television, and I wouldn't say that it's horrible. So it sounds like you think it's horrible. But I was not impressed by what I had seen.
But these last three movies, I feel that he's gotten a better grasp of how to stage these awkward moments, such that it doesn't come off as just silence, right? Because that, as I'm saying, that moment where they're reading the book, that can just be a silent moment where you as the audience is sitting down and you're waiting for a response, as opposed to the fact that he's actually filled this moment with all of these responses, which are funny to me, because I'm finding it funny to see this woman being judged finally.
All right, I'll give you that.
And the movie is filled with
moments. Actually, the best part of that scene was actually silence. There was a silence, and they were all reading, and I think it was Greta Gerwig who was holding the page, and she starts to flip, and everybody behind her is like, wait, hold on, I haven't finished that page yet. Because they're so, like, just, they can't believe what's there, and they have to make sure that they
it's
read everywhere.
Such a good story.
I still like Frances Ha the best out of the three, but I haven't watched this movie as many times as Frances
Ha. Yeah, you've watched Frances Ha an inordinate amount of times.
Like, literally, like I watched this movie on the Friday, and the next day I had to be at work for Saturday, and I sat down at work with my tablet out watching Frances Ha off Netflix. I'm like, yeah, I really like Frances Ha.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, so
DJR.
That's my name. This movie is called Mistress America. And I'm actually quite concerned that neither of you explain this movie properly, because this movie is really all about an evil, manipulative person, lady, who delights in manipulating.
Everyone she's
no. A specific person, who is just. You know, naive and airy fairy, and doesn't understand what she's doing, and in the end tries to benefit off of her. It's a sad, sad story.
The story of America.
Story of mistresses.
Douglas, can you tell me if you like?
All right, so. Let's see what boxes we can tick and what boxes we can.
We're done with that. We're done.
Okay. All right. So this movie stars one Greta Gerwig.
All right.
So which
that's,
is a
that's
big
a plus.
Tick,
so that's
a big
one.
Tick, right.
All right. We'll give that two. Two max.
That's all I need really.
Okay.
I really like this movie. This. So first off, as I was watching this movie, I felt like it was pretty much Frances Ha part two, and guess what, Damien? I like Frances Ha. So and this is one of those movies where, kind of like Chef, kind of like About Time, it's one of those movies I can literally just sit down, watch, enjoy, be happy about watching it, and not necessarily need to or for there not necessarily to be like a specific reason or some big theme that really intrigues me about it. This is one of those movies where I just like it. The feel of it, I mean, I understand your point, and your point is the people annoy you.
And the story.
I think that's intentional.
And that's what they're supposed to be. But you know,
look, I get that. Dude, it's not like I don't know that he's deliberately writing these characters this way. But that doesn't change the fact that there is.
I remember reading a thing when Francis Ha came out, because I was the first of the bunch, where people were breaking apart, people were collating reviews of the movie, and they were breaking it up into the people who hated it and the people who loved it. And they immediately found that when you did all the statistics, the people that hated it, like, the mass of that were people under the age of 26.
Okay.
who felt like Bob Mack was just fucking with him.
Okay.
And the people who loved it were all the people above the age of like 30.
So pretty much.
You're saying I'm a child.
You're saying you're a child and you haven't grown up yourself.
I haven't matured enough to because I'm still a millennial or whatever it is, whatever group I've fallen into this week.
Yep.
Right.
You still believe in magic.
So I understand where you're coming from with this thing. But I think what I probably like about them, and why I actually like the characters, is that they are all of those things that you said.
Yeah.
But there is this innocence to them. This naivety. It's not something that they are actively like, you know what? I'm going to wake up in the morning and be an asshole to people.
It feels that way to you.
But it's just...
Let me be clear. That is how you become an asshole. There's no disillusion.
No. That's how you became an asshole.
No, because we are all...
Because you are actively an asshole.
Just like the people in this movie.
But, like, so these stories are about people who are all of those things. Mm-hmm. But... the way I choose to see it, and maybe it's because I like to see the good in people.
Yes,
I said it.
This is where we're
good.
There's
an innocence to that, and there is a journey towards some sort of transformation where at the end they're like, oh, I am an asshole.
Yeah, but
maybe I should. change that, but there's not even necessarily that maybe I should change that because to be honest with you, if you go down that road, it can easily become this hammy sort of ridiculousness. But the fact that they leave that out, that they have this kind of not epiphany is a strong word, but this realization, and then you as the viewer are kind of left holding the bag to say, all right, they've realized here, this has happened, this thing has happened, what's the next step? And you don't need to know what the next step is. It's just, you know, the journey there is fun to watch.
I don't get it. Like, I don't... That's a shitty way to talk about anything, but...
I say that a lot about movies.
Yeah, no. I say it about very specific movies. Like, it is the characters that are in the movie that... Like,
yeah, there's nothing right, about all, them. They all kind of are like this. And it's funny because there are movies of his that I love and movies of his that I hate. For instance, the first one I saw, or at least knowing that it was him, was The Squid and the Whale, which I adore, right? That movie is the greatest thing ever, in my opinion. You are not shaking your head.
So it's always been like this.
But, yeah, it has been. But then, if you look at, you know, other things, like Kicking and Screaming, or... I think there was one recently, but I can't remember right now. I just don't
like this movie.
Oh, the Green Berth, that was not good.
I didn't know that.
Let's not talk about that movie.
But he generally, I don't know why, I like his movies.
Do you guys like Smite People? You remember that movie?
I fucking hate that movie.
Yeah, but that's whole.
That's like how that this movie feels. Feels exactly like that movie.
Because those people are malicious. They are
not like the people in
not
this
like
movie.
The people here. And no, to be honest, it's not.
Not like the but girl using it's, her it's soon-to-be sister to write a shitty story. And not like the sister that has used every single person
but
that
you
she's
know what,
ever
though,
come in contact
here's the thing.
With.
That movie is an angry movie.
Okay.
That movie is a movie where these people aren't having fun, and so you, by extension, by watching them not having fun, are not having fun. Okay. When you watch this movie, Greta Gerwig is dancing. She's trying to fund her restaurant. She's doing all of these things that, while you know, she alienates people and she essentially does horrible things, they are being kind of brushed under the carpet. And the reason for that is not because they're horrible, but because we're kind of seeing it from her view, or more specifically from the view of the girl who kind of idolizes her. So that's how you're allowed to see it. And so you have, in a way, you're kind of rooting for her, right? You never root for anybody in Smart People. You're just like, please stop being assholes. But in this movie, there is more of a whitewashing of it.
The people who aren't having fun in this movie are all the people who you actually don't care about.
Exactly.
So, for example,
yeah.
When she shows up at the ex-boyfriend's house, and the wife opens the door, who's her best friend, and they're like, and you can see the look on her face of dread the moment she appears at the door. You're like, oh shit, this isn't going to go well. But that becomes a comedy in itself. It's no different than any other dumb comedy movie that we watch where assholes are just having a run with the world.
Yeah.
And we applaud those movies.
Yeah.
We...
you guys are... were
There's a big
to
difference between assholes... You should understand this because
Thank
you're
you.
You're one.
Mm-hmm.
You are an asshole who enjoys being an asshole.
I really
right?
do.
There's
fun.
A big difference between movies about assholes who enjoy being assholes because we then enjoy that. It's funny. As opposed to assholes who are just assholes and are assholes because they don't enjoy anything. And that's what Smart People is.
Like, you guys found people to root for in this movie.
Yes,
and that
I did.
Is, like, it is amazing.
I 100% rooted for Greta Gerwig.
That is
movie.
Amazing to me. Like,
and also for, I can't remember the character name in the movie.
I recently was listening to a different podcast that no one else should listen to. I'm not going to say the name. It doesn't matter.
That's right. Don't call out the conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were shitting all over men, women, and children.
Oh, but that movie was bad, though.
Right. And both you guys hate that movie.
Oh,
and I was the only person.
What?
Even at the time, I was the only person. I kind of, like, saw past all of, like, the old, like, thread the needle. I'm just going to pretend.
Let's get through all of these problems.
And they were saying all this shit about the movie. I'm like, all right. And so I went back and watched the movie. And those things were there. But it still didn't, none of that prevented me from still, doing the same thing again. I just watched the movie. And I still like this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to understand how you guys felt while recording that podcast. Because you guys tore that movie to shreds. You're like, it is... It is shitty about how it talks about the internet, about parenting. It blames the internet. Like, you guys were just not having it at all. I'm like, wait a second. There's things.
You're like,
but
you're supposed to be the nice one who gets.
But no, this is like, there is literally nothing in this movie. The scene when they're reviewing the thing is, like, that is the one scene that I'd pull out and go, yeah, there were some clever when they were reading her story.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one part where I said, they wrote this part to be funny, but it wasn't that funny. Like, they could have done, I don't know if he could have done more. I don't know if he's capable. But that setup is that easy. Like, you could see that being more outwardly funny. They could have written clever lines and other things that would have made it. But that's not the type of movie this is. It's not an out-and-out comedy. Andrew thinks it's a comedy, and I'm assuming you do too. Who gives a shit?
I don't I mean, there are funny bits. Whatever. It's just a movie that I like. I don't really think about it as a comedy.
But yeah, the end, like, I did not enjoy my time with this movie, like, at all. I didn't like none of the characters. I didn't like whatever this the story of this movie is so throwaway that. And then to come here and hear you guys like, no, it's a nice movie. And I like Greta Gerwig because she's. Oh, I get it now. I just realized what. there's a girl that we haven't talked about on this podcast for a good long time because she's now in a TV show called The New Girl.
No, she's not in that anymore.
Oh, she's not in that anymore?
Apparently, yes. I was reading the other day.
For like 6 months, she's going to be off, right?
She's going to be off, and they're bringing in someone none of us like.
Greta Gerwig?
Megan Fox. But I'm actually curious.
I need to watch that. I need to see what they do.
Pretend like it's the same person.
Yeah. I really want them to do that. And then when she does come back, I want them to, like, somehow. 21
Jump Street.
Yeah, exactly.
Jump Street. Yeah. Yeah. Like, where are you? I was somewhere.
I was always here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's the whole manic pixie dream girl thing that I've never ever been able to get into. I think that is what you guys see, and I 100% do not.
I doubt that he does, but yeah, I think there's something that I
thought. Right.
Because I really like Greta. From I watched Bagheads, and then from I watched Hannah Takes the Stairs, I was like, yes.
Please. Yes.
Have I seen Hannah Takes the Stairs?
I don't know if I have. Did you watch Bagheads?
I haven't seen that.
You said. You talked about that movie so much that I have watched it.
But if we even think of it that way, like, definitely there are aspects of Greta's character throughout Francis and this one. But these movies are almost anti
Manic Pixie Dream Girls. They're dour movies.
Because they totally ruin every aspect of the fantasy that those movies try to portray. I don't think of them that way at all. Yeah.
This movie is very much about, and the same thing with Francis Ha, about trying to hold on to that fantasy and it eventually shattering.
Right.
Yeah.
She got her restaurant though, so it didn't shatter.
She did not.
She did get her restaurant. He gave her the money.
No.
She didn't take the money.
Did you not watch the movie?
I was bored. What building was she in at the end?
Her apartment.
Oh, no. Actually, sorry. They did go to a restaurant that was not managed by her. Because two scenes before, the young girl went to the place where the restaurant was supposed to be.
Oh, right.
It was shuttered
right
up.
Right, I'm convoluting. Who is it? Right. It was years ago.
Because she, cheated on her boyfriend. Right. And he did not give her the restaurant. Yes? And we're probably going to have to cut up all of that.
Yeah. I don't get it. You guys are... It's as if you saw a different movie.
I like that, though. It's interesting whenever I read reviews and I'm like, okay, you guys hate this movie.
But these
are the reasons why you should like this one.
There's no way this is. There must be like some alternative cut you guys saw that had jokes and like a dream girl. And I just saw empty, horrible people talking at each other for 90 minutes. And then the movie graciously ended itself so that I could go back and watch Bad Boys again.
There's no crying.
There is no crying.
That's definitely a crying movie, though.
Oh, no, it is not. It's the
There's a love story in there.
I mean, I cried. I cried whenever I saw them shoot that sweet, sweet Ferrari. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my daylight clothes or is it just my daylight song? What I do ain't make believe. People say I sit and try, but when it comes to being daylight, it's just me, myself, and I. So this happened a couple of weeks ago now. There was a video circulating on the internet about a girl.
It's not true. It's Photoshop.
Not that video, though.
We agreed to not Douglas. Talk about that video. Stop. We agreed that right. We wouldn't engage the internet right. in its bullying of you.
We contacted right? Mr. Google.
I and did had not it taken down. Have sexual relations.
Don't joke about that because that's where we're headed.
Okay.
There was a video, like it came on the news. There was some young girl that was raped by some guy. And
which guy?
Our older gentleman. Oh. And it was like he took video of the entire thing and posted it on Facebook because that's what you do. When you rape somebody, you want to make sure you have that recorded in case you need to check back. And it came on the news, and then there was a lot of uproar about it. And I went to work, and the people at work were talking about. Someone said, "Damien, have you seen the video?" I went, "No, I'm an adult, and I don't want to see anybody. I don't care about who is on the video. I'm not watching a video of some girl being raped or anybody being raped." And over the course of the night, I came to realize that there was people that was assigning partial blame to this young girl because she should have been in school. And she wasn't. She was at this man yard. And so...
Is this a local?
This is a local thing.
Yeah, I think I heard some local.
Right. And I was trying to explain to them what victim blaming was. Because usually whenever things happen, I just ignore them because I don't want to be a part of whatever shitty conversation they're having. But things like victim blaming is serious. Like, we can't have that in a society. It's dangerous and it leads to people doing things that they should normally do, even though they're victims of crimes. And while I was talking to two people in particular, I realized something that is kind of scary. Now, we don't watch the Tyler Perry movies because they're shitty movies. Right? But a lot of people do in this country, and it is sad that they do. There's nothing we can do to fix that yet.
Yes, we can.
Yet.
We kill Tyler Perry.
He's not here. We should do. We should write that down.
We know people.
Apparently, it's a thing in his movies where. Women get beat or whatever, and as part of their recovery, they have to accept that they kept themselves in the relationship. And well, so they're doing exactly the thing that you're not supposed to do. If a man is beating you and you're married to him, it is like you're not to be blamed because he's hitting you, right? You staying in that house for whatever reason doesn't give anybody permission to hit. And I was trying to explain that to them. And they just looked at me like, "Damien, what the fuck are you talking about?" But that's not a thing that's only, like, I've seen that in, like, TV shows and certain movies. And, the thing I'm getting to is, years ago, in cartoons, like Bugs Bunny used to smoke and whatever. But now when you see them, there's a giant disclaimer. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Look, guys, this was a different time." Right? I've actually seen that warning. And the first time I saw it, I couldn't believe it. Like, look.
Yeah, they've done that for a lot of the old, really old ones. Where right, have the really super old. Super racist
yeah,
things.
There's like racist shit and smoking. And they're like, "Look, we're not going to change the cartoon because cartoon or whatever it is. But just know that this is from a different time and different era. And we don't condone." And there's like a list. this.
Wow.
I want them to start doing that with movies. Now, I know it's going to be difficult because there's people who are going to scream art for whatever. But with dangerous concepts like these that don't lead to anything positive, I think, like, especially this year where there was like a big push to have more recognition of females doing things in movies, I think we need to have, like, I just, they're like, look, this is the movie, but this is a new modern society, and we don't condone hitting women, because of course, and we don't condone victim blaming, and like, just a lot, like, yes, it's the movie, but people have to know that these things aren't okay. And even though you're supposed to inherently know that movies are fake, and shit that happens in movies is not indicative of the real world, see Bad Boys 2, there's people who watch it.
I'm not too sure about that second part.
Right, I mean Bad Boys.
No, I don't mean Bad Boys, I mean... movies are fake, mm-hmm. that we know. The second part of that sentence, mm-hmm. not indicative of the real world. I'm not too sure about the second part.
No. I mean, like, certain aspects of movies mm-hmm. aren't, like, indicative of
gravity movie. Rules, sure.
Right. Like, movies are supposed to be entertaining, so they take shortcuts and they do shit that real human beings can't do. Mm-hmm. And people are supposed to recognize that immediately and go, oh, this is just, like, this is movie logic. This is how things happen in the movies. But, whatever. But there's things, like, as a society going forward, especially in this country, where there's still, like, we still have a problem with, as I said before, children being molested, and violence against women, and, like, things are like that are serious issues, and I think, like, we can do that. Like, as a society, I think we should say, all right, look, guys, this is the movie, but, like, we give movie ratings. We can flash something before the movie starts and go, all right, these are the things in the movie, but these are the things that aren't okay. Like, as the PG-13 rolls in, you have that, like, right behind it. Because there's too many people using movies as a guideline to how they live their life. And while what I want to do is shake them and go, you stop being idiots. I mean, I can't do that. There's, what, 3 million people here?
You could. It would take you a while. But
it could be like in Rudy, when they all line up to mm-hmm. put their shirts.
Right.
They just line up for you. And you know, shake everyone.
All right. Listening to Tyler Perry, you goddamn idiot.
It'll be very emotional. By the end of it, you'll be crying, they'll be crying, and we'll all just you'll have a happy hour.
At some point in the middle of the scene, you get tired, and the person will egg you on and be like, come on, shake me. Yeah. You can do it.
Can't even do it anymore. So tired. But I watch all the Tyler Perry movies. God damn it.
So, okay. Let's see how I can navigate this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because... let's be upfront,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to the real world aspect of this thing, there's definitely a lot of societal issues that we have to deal with in this country. Just the way we talk about some of these things, as well as the way that they are treated. But as it relates to the movie side, the actual how movies deal with these issues, I'm actually very tentative about labeling things like that, because I don't think there'd be any true added value to putting in front of it, you should not like this character. Like, we don't condone hitting someone in the face or any sort of thing you want to put in front of it, because A, I don't believe the audience is read.
No, you know, like, oh,
right? No, or like, B, hold on, more importantly, I always tend to drop on the side where people are always going to see what they want to see in a movie, right? No matter what kind of movie we're looking at. And I think the extreme we can look at is The Wolf of Wall Street, right? That was a movie where when it came out, there were a lot of people who took issue with the movie in that it was glorifying that time and those
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
right? But it was very, at least for me and for, I think, all of us sitting here, it was very clear that it really wasn't glorifying them or making them look like good people. And it really wasn't, mm-hmm. it was
they were
more,
the worst people.
They were the worst people. And it was more to the point, kind of showing how a system allowed them to exist and allowed their behavior to be to be just generally approved and shown to be, as far as anyone is concerned, right. Because at the end of the day, they're still in the black and not the red. They're, even though someone might have to go to prison for a few years, he gets to be
he gets to be
comfortable.
Right. And then he comes back out and sells people pens.
Right. And he wins as far as the world is concerned.
Hashtag. Charlie Sheen.
Let's not talk about Charlie Sheen today. We're not talking about Charlie Sheen today. And one of the things that has been stuck in my mind ever since I heard one of the podcasts I love to listen to, and I go on and off with it. Lots of people make jokes.
Can you stop listening to other podcasts?
Is Marc Maron's WTF podcast.
He said the name of another podcast on our podcast.
We don't do that here.
What is wrong with him?
One of
that's the competition.
Only one podcast exists. Syria. I mean, not the movie podcast.
One of my favorite episodes that he ever did was with a guy who I never knew existed until he was on that show, Phil Hendricks, who was an old time.
I don't know that name.
He was on the show. He was on the TV show in an episode, but otherwise I don't know him. He's an old time radio host. One of those guys who did like really late night radio, would do like 5 hours with all of the call in shows, and more importantly, all of that shit. Most of it was made up.
Yeah.
Where he would do characters on the show, he would hire people to call in as characters.
I think I listened to that one. It was probably while I was working downtown, which meant I actually had time to listen to podcasts in the car.
And
why are we still talking about another person?
And one of the points of the conversation that they came to, as Phil would talk about people coming up to him on the street saying, like, how do you let that lady talking about her killing her husband on the radio talk for so? Why didn't you cut off that phone call? Where people don't realize that most of it is fake, right? And Phil kind of letting people understand that you can't handhold people through themes, through ideas, through issues, through whatever art that there is, whether it be a dumb story being told on the radio, whether it is a painting, whether it's a book about wizards where people all jump up and down going, it's about demons and we shouldn't let children read it because they'll get into demon talk, or movies about rape that they don't understand, they shouldn't be blaming the young lady for being raped, right? All you can do is create it and just hope. Right? You no matter what you do,
you don't know
no
anything
matter,
about governments, do you?
No matter how hard you try to shift the conversation by having this media, this piece of art, try to put your mind there, like how we're talking about Wolf of Wall Street, and we're talking about the society as opposed to the people, right? The system as opposed to the money, right? People are always going to see these movies and think of it another way.
Right,
and
take whatever they want.
And validation for their own behavior. When I went to the premiere of one of the local movies a while back, it was the boxing one.
Oh, Get a Life, I think
right.
It was called.
And
you guys are brutal people, aren't you?
And they had a Q&A after. The director was there, the producer was there. And they had a Q&A, and there was one lady who stood up and started to give a speech, and more than a question, about
I have a dream.
About how she wants to commend movies like this who give weight to violence, right? Because there's so many movies out there, the PG-13 movies, like Transformers, where you see all of these horrible shit happening and children are watching it, and they're okay with it. And that's something that I've always been talking about, the concept of weightless violence in movies, where we like dumb action movies and they're entertaining us, but there's so many action movies where violence is just brushed off without consequence, right? Even something as so small as the PG-13 movies of today, where they're bloodless violence, where people are actually starting to be afraid that children watching these movies might eventually think that, oh, the Joker threw a pencil into someone's eye and he just fell down. That's all right.
I see people fall down all the time.
What's the problem? Was that movie PG-13?
It was PG-13.
Every Batman movie was PG-13.
And one of the things in the list that helps it be PG-13 is the lack of blood.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because they do cut away a lot.
Right. I'm pretty sure this new James Bond movie is PG-13. I don't think it's an R movie.
Yeah, but is it really that... wow, that's sad.
That movie starts and he blows up a building.
And there's so many things about what movies do and how they twist and shape reality. And I don't want to, just like how you don't want to blame the girl for what happened. No, I never want to blame the movie for an idiot. So or someone seeing something.
What you're saying then, Andrew, is by advocating against victim blaming, Damien is in fact victim blaming.
Yes, I'm blaming the movie. The thing I was trying to get, you know, in a lot of movies they're like, no animals were harmed in the making of... That is what I want. I don't want something that they're like, listen...
No women were harmed.
Right. I just want something that, even if it's a little thing, just to remind people at some point that, look, we did some ill shit in this movie. But just so you're clear, because most people don't spend time looking at the law because they're not assholes. Right? Just a quick refresher. Right? Yes, you're supposed to know that you're not supposed to do things without a sign telling you you're not supposed to do things. Because it's illegal. Like, there's a sign at my workplace that says, no illegal drugs. Hey, stupid people. It's illegal. Which means I can't have it fucking anywhere. Not just here. You see the illegal? Yeah, I can't have it anywhere. But there's a reason signs like that go up. Because...
it's the reason why when I go to the movie theater, there's a sign that says, no vests.
Right. Right. There's a reason when you go on a plane, you're like, look, don't open the door while the plane is in flight.
So
it's not because someone... the people who write signs don't have jack shit to do in their life.
Hey, I've seen some road signs. I don't make any fucks.
Yes, but those signs are there for a reason.
I've seen a sign with an exclamation mark on it.
In Trinidad, there was a road sign that said, buy a wife here.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. There was a pretty good one outside of Campion where there, because there's children crossing, on the crosswalk, they had like the area with the lines. And then the road stop there. Except stop was spelled incorrectly.
Spot. It was
S-O-T-P. I wish we had camera phones then. You saw that someone talked to someone to have it fixed because they had to go back. But of course, the paint was already done. It's not like they could erase it. So they had to do some fancy thing. S-O-T-P is pretty good. What I'm saying, I just need, like, for really serious shit, right? Like, the real problems that we have in the country. We just need a little thing at the start or at the end of movies. Just like how it says, no animals were harmed in the making of this movie. Just remind idiots. Because the reason I put that up is to remind people, like, doing shit to animals. Like, yes, it was fun doing this in the movie. It looked like shooting a dog looks fun in the movie, but it wasn't a real dog. Please don't do this. I just want something like that. Because it's getting scary out there. I just assume a lot of things about people. And they have to prove that I'm incorrect. But when they prove that, then I get scared. And I don't know what to do because it was a close to hell belief that if someone is molested, that you don't blame them. I just assumed that was a thing that we all knew. Apparently that is not the case.
I gave up on that assumption last year when the... why can't I remember his name? The incident in France, not the one that just happened.
That didn't happen last year.
when the the Islamic people attacked the publishing, the
editorial,
Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah.
And I sat in my office and I saw people go, well, you had to expect some response. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like,
I remember people saying that and was just like,
I'm like,
guys,
really? Like, I don't think we want to blanket this under some response. You can't make those kind of jokes and not expect them to do something. Like, what?
Andrew, you can't.
Yeah.
That's how the world works.
Wow.
We do awful things all the time.
So
and
I was going to bring up a dumb thing, but at this point I really don't want to. Because I didn't really have much of a thing to talk about.
So upset.
But I was like, I could just bring this up as a throw-around topic,
yeah.
But nope, not doing it now.
Yeah.
Damien has killed us. Super serious.
Yes. No, because, like,
no,
watching
I'm,
people...
I'm fine.
No. No, not... like, the just watching people argue something that no human... Like, it doesn't mean... Trying to explain to people that what you're doing can't be right, like it cannot be right, right? And trying to come up with every example.
It was the same thing.
And just watching them stare at you.
Yeah. Where lots of people were saying, how dare you do this to video games?
Yeah, you shouldn't write bad shit about video games because video games are awesome. So let me threaten you with, you know, fun things.
Bodily harm.
Like rape.
And to publish your information publicly for everyone else to do it.
Yeah. Private publishing.
And you realize the first...
Need
the first five letters in publish are the same as the first five letters in publish,
I need
right?
to buy privatepublishing.com.
That actually would be a really good website name.
Yes. I'm looking if it is available. Because I want that.
Publish privately.
No,
publish privately.
You realize, by the way, that one of the conjugations mm-hmm. of the word publish is publication. Mm-hmm. Like, publication.
But that makes the whole word different. No, I'm sorry.
Publication.
Publishery.
Mm. And the fact that anytime she had an event scheduled, there would be a random bomb threat that would have the event cancelled.
I don't like this world anymore.
Yeah.
Damien, they're still bad boys too, though.
We are.
There's that. Alright, never mind.
I brought you back.
Never mind.
Anyways, I'm going to cut this.
But there's also no bomb back.
He doesn't outweigh, but listen. I watch his movies once, and then watch Bad Boys and Ikiru, which is not on Criterion. And Demolition Man should be on Criterion. It's not.
Still.